Today's shir is Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Mem Vav, and we will begin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the bottom, Tanit Tana Kamei, Rav Sheshes. As we have been learning, the Mishnah taught us that it is unanimous opinion of all Tanoim that a mountain does not become an Avodah Zarah. A tree, an Asherah, can become an Avodah Zarah. But as our Mishnah taught us, it's because there was a tefisah de Adam. When it comes to a tree, there was human intervention in planting the tree. We had a machloikus between Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, that clearly everybody is in agreement that if a tree was planted l'shem avodah zarah, that is the asherah that the Torah speaks about, that is an avodah zarah. But what would be the halacha if a tree was planted not l'shem avodah zarah, but then ulubsoif avodah, after it was planted it was turned into an avodah zarah? Will that tree have the din of an avodah zarah or not? The opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and according to some opinion that is also what they say is the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Aglili in our Mishnah, that tree will have the din of an avodah zarah. The opinion of the Rabbanan is that that tree will not have the din of an avodah zarah. Interesting to note that I saw that the Mefarshim explain that the Gemara says that when Klai Yisrael built the Mishkan in the Midbar, they needed Atzei Shittim, they needed cedar wood to build the Mishkan. And the Gemara asks, Atzei Shittim Menolon, from where did they have the Atzei Shittim to build the Mishkan? So Gemara answers that Yaakov Avinu knew b'nevua, through prophecy, that Klal Yisrael will build a Mishkan in the Midbar, and that they're going to need Atzei Shittim. So he planted Atzei Shittim in Mitzrayim for that purpose, which Klal Yisrael took along with them as they left Mitzrayim to have for the Mishkan. And the question is, why was Yaakov Avinu specifically concerned about that Atzei Shittim? There were many materials that were required for the building of the Mishkan, silver and gold. We don't find Yaakov Avinu was concerned about those materials. He was specifically concerned about that Atzei Shittim. Say the Mefarshim, based on the sugyas that we've been learning, that a tree that has been planted l'shem Avodah Zarah, everybody agrees, becomes Avodah Zarah. And even if a tree wasn't planted l'shem Avodah Zarah, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, it can become Avodah Zarah. That's why Yaakov was so specifically concerned that all the trees might be Avodah Zarah that cannot be used for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he prepared trees that were certainly not planted l'shem Avodah Zarah and not worshipped, and that they should have those trees for the building of the Mishkan. Says the Gemara, Tani Tana Kamei Rav Sheshes. The following brayse was taught in front of Rav Sheshes. Hav di kachavim ha'edim es aharim es agvois. Akum, who worship mountains or hills, heim mutarim, as we've been learning, a mountain on a hill cannot become avodah zarah. However, vayvdeyem, and as we discussed this brayse in the previous year, it doesn't change the fact that this is considered an act of avodah zarah. And if an akum is oivet avodah zarah, as we learned in Masechta Sanhedrin, one of the Zayin mitzvahs b'nei noach is the prohibition for akum to worship avodah zarah. And as we also learned, whereas by Klal Yisrael there are arba mises bezdin, different mises bezdin for different averis, but the akum, whenever the chay misa, the chiv misa sayif, and therefore says the brayse, if the akum worship the hills, the chiv Misa will be saif. However, if they worship zroim vesirokas, seeds or vegetables, there heinas surim, the vegetables, the seeds become themselves osur as avodah zarah. And again, avdeim besayif, those that worship it are chayiv misa for avodah zarah. Amalei, and Rav Sheshes asked the person who quoted this brisa, Dom Lochmani, whose opinion does this brisa follow? It seems that it follows the opinion of Rav Yosef Rabbi Yudahi. Dam Ilan Shenotel Upsayf Avodai Aser. And therefore, the Brice is teaching us that these grains, these vegetables that were planted, even if they weren't planted L'Shem Avodah Zarah, as we explained in our introductory remarks, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, can still have the din of Avodah Zarah. Ask the Gemara, why are we explaining to that the Brice is referring to a situation that was not planted L'Shem Avodah Zarah, and it was only later turned into an Avodah Zarah, and therefore have to limit in explaining that the Brice follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Yehuda? Why not say V'lukma B'ilon Shenot Metchil Kach? Why not say that the Brice is referring to a situation where it was planted originally, that these grains or vegetables were planted originally L'Shem Avodah Zarah, and since they were planted originally L'Shem Avodah Zarah, they will have the din of Avodah Zarah, even V'Rabbanon, even according to the opinion of the Rabbanon? Answers the Gemara L'Saka Daitach. It's difficult to explain that the Brice is referring to a situation that it's difficult to explain that the Brice is speaking about a situation where it was planted originally L'Shem Avodah Zarah, because the Tani Dumi Dahar, the Brice is comparing the situation of the vegetables to the situation of a mountain. Now mountain, clearly Mahash Loinita Matril Kach, a mountain clearly was not planted originally, was not planted at all. So it's clearly not referring to such a situation. Af Hainami, so too, if we're speaking about the vegetables, it's talking about a situation, Shloinita Matril Kach. It wasn't that they were originally planted to be an Avodah Zarah. They were not planted for that purpose. It was only later that it was determined that they should be used for Avodah Zarah, which according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, but not according to Rabbanan, will be considered a situation of Avodah Zarah. Ask the Mefarshim, if a requirement, an understandable requirement, and understanding the Brice is that the case of the vegetables is similar to the case of the mountain, then we haven't accomplished anything, because we can't have a situation by a mountain either where it was originally planted for one purpose and then it was and then we changed the purpose. So the same question that we have, that it can't be that it was planted originally for that purpose, we have the same issue when we have the same issue in comparing it to a situation when it was not where it was changed later on. Answer the Mefarshim that no. By the mountain, we can have a situation where, even though it wasn't obviously planted originally L'Shem Avodah Zarah, because a mountain cannot be planted, a mountain is not planted, but we could have a situation where we started with a mountain, and then we went and we took that mountain and started a new mountain with earth from the first mountain. And the Brice is, and that will be more of a similar situation to the situation that we're discussing here about the planting of a vegetable, not L'Shem Avodah Zarah, and then changing our mind. And the difference will be, according to Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, that by Avodah Zarah of the tree, the vegetable, it is considered Avodah Zarah, and by the mountain it isn't. Going back to a concept that we discussed in our previous year, that whereas by a mountain, nothing is added, there is no further growth, even if we create a man-made mountain. By an Avodah Zarah, there is new growth. By tree or vegetables, there is new growth, and that's the difference between a mountain and a tree, and that's what the Brice is teaching us, that the mountain that was man-made, even if it was man-made L'Shem Avodah Zarah, everybody will agree is not considered an Avodah Zarah, whereas by the tree, even if it wasn't planted L'Shem Avodah Zarah, but it was decided that it should be turned into an Avodah Zarah, and there was extra growth to that tree, that extra growth will have the din of Avodah Zarah. Itma. So as we have been learning, a mountain cannot become Avodah Zarah. Certainly, if someone removes stones from the mountains, L'Shem Avodah Zarah, that those stones are certainly able to become an Avodah Zarah. According to the Ravid, It's not only if a person removes stones l'shem avodah zarah does it become avodah zarah, but even if an animal removed stones l'shem avodah zarah, it becomes avodah zarah. However, our Gemara begins to discuss the situation of avnei har shenedaldalu, where stones were removed from the mountain not by themselves. There was an earthquake or whatever purpose, those stones were removed. Can those stones become avodah zarah? And the simplest way of explaining the Gemara, which everybody agrees is the situation that the Gemara is referring to, is a situation where the stones were somewhat removed, but not completely removed. However, there are Rishonim that say that the case is even in a case where the stones were completely removed. As long as there was no intervention in causing them to move, the same question will apply. And there are other Mepharshim, other Rishonim that say, not only were they moved out of their place, that the question may not only be necessarily in a case where they were moved out of their place, but even if they were carried further, but the fact that they were not removed l'shem by human intervention, they were just shaken out, will be the subject of the discussion of our Gemara. And again, we will learn the Gemara in the simplest way, where the mountain, where the stones were somewhat removed, not completely removed, not by a human or by an animal. What is the halacha? Can those stones, are those stones considered like a mountain, or are stones not considered like a mountain? Avnei har shenedaldalu. And we have here machlokes b'nei Rabbi Chiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. What will be the din in this case? Charama suris. The opinion of one is that these, they become avodah zarah and are also from hanor for benefit. But charama mataris. And the other opinion is that they're mutar. Ask the Gemara, my time of the mandam and mataris. What is the basis of the mandam that says they're mutar? Says the Gemara, because we compare them to a mountain. Mar hash ein by tfisas ide adam. Just like a mountain, there is no human intervention. And that's why we're explaining that a mountain cannot become avodah zarah, because there is no human intervention. And mutar, af hani, these stones also, ein bo tfisas ide adam, there was no human intervention in their removal from the mountain, and therefore, mutarim, they don't become avodah zarah. And as the Chazon Ish explains, the point of the Gemara here is the fact that there was no human intervention causes that it should not be obvious that this is an avodah zarah. And once we have a situation where it's not obvious or not clearly obvious that this is an avodah zarah, that's why it's mutar. Ask the Gemara, but there is another factor to take into consideration when we speak about a mountain. Malahar shekem mechuber. It's attached to the ground. These avonim shnedablu are no longer firmly attached to the ground, says the Gemara behemot techiach. The fact that it is or isn't connected to the ground, says the Gemara, is not a factor in determining if it is an avodah zarah. Because the Gemara and Masechta Baba Kama teaches us, the pasuk discusses animals to be brought for carbon oila, uses the words min habakar, some animals, not all animals. And the Gemara in Baba Kama explains to teach us that an animal that was worshipped for avodah zarah may not be brought as a carbon. Now, if the halacha is that an animal that was worshipped becomes usur, so why do I have to speak about a situation where it was, why do we have to speak about a situation that it's usur for carbon? It's usur for everyone. The fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say that it's usur for carbon is a clear indication that it's mutter for hedget. Now, a behema is not mechuber. So we clearly see that being connected or not being connected is not the relevant factor. What is the relevant factor? Was there or was there not human intervention? And both a har and a behema don't have human intervention. Ask the Gemara, but a behema has a different factor. Ma'ala behema shekem balas chayim. A behema is a living thing. We can't compare avonim shnedaldalu to behema. Says the Gemara, ha'yichich, The fact that it's living or not living is not the relevant factor, because a mountain doesn't become an avodah zarah, and a mountain is clearly not a living thing. So what do we have here, says the Gemara? Chazer hadein. We have here a tzadah shava. Loi rizek rizek, v'loi rizek rizek. Hashadah shavish ben. What is the common denominator between mountains and animals? Shem and tfitzis today adam. There's no human intervention, and therefore umutter the animal. These items cannot become avodah zarah. Similarly, af kol she'ein ben tfitzis today adam, where there is no human intervention, it's mutter. They remain mutter, and therefore the avonim shnadavul, since there was no human intervention, will not become avodah zarah. As the Gemara, however, malat tzadah shavah shebehen, when we look at animals and we look at mountains, shekein lo nishtanu mibriyosam, they remain the same as they were from when they came into existence. Whereas avonim shnadavul, there is a change. They were originally set in the mountain, and now they're no longer set in the mountain. As the Ritva, that the Gemara Masechta Baba Kamma says, the Pasuk says in the Torah, the Heshiv as Exela Shagazal, that if somebody steals something, he has to return it as it is. However, the Gemara says that if it's no longer the same as it was when it was stolen, it doesn't have to be returned, just the value of what was stolen must be returned. And the Gemara there says that if an animal was stolen, and then while it was in the possession of the gazlan, it grew, it's not considered the same as it was when it was stolen. Because it's growing means that it's not the same. So ask the Ritva, and our Gemara too, why are we saying that the animal is the same as it was when it was created? It's not the same as it was when it was created. When it was created, it grew. And we're saying from the Gemara Masechta Baba Kamma that something growing means that it changed. Says the Ritva, specifically when it comes to Hilchas Gezela, does the Torah say that even the slight change, or I would say the natural, normal change, that animals grow is considered a change? But in all other areas of Halacha, just the fact that it grew does not mean that it changed. That's not considered a significant change, and therefore, if it gets changed for that reason, it will not be. If it just changed by that, by natural growth, it will not be considered having changed. So again, our question is, the Gemara attempted to learn from a tzadah shava of a mountain and an animal. A mountain and animal don't have a change, whereas avonim the daldalu underwent change. El asya behemis bal mumahar. The halacha is that even if a behemah is a balmum, still the same halacha applies. And even though one became balmum, it certainly underwent change. Inami, behemah tama, umil and yamash. From an animal that didn't undergo change. And the animal's the way it was. But the tree withered. Even though the tree withered, it still doesn't become avodah zarah, even though it certainly underwent change. So we say the fact that it underwent change doesn't play a role. Interesting to note that the Chazon Ish points out, from here we see that even though the Ilan withered, it's Yavesh, it's still considered Mechubber, it's still considered connected to the ground, even though as far as Hilchos Avodah Zarah is concerned. Furthermore, the Stipler says that even though our Gemara is sort of equating the din of an animal with the din of a mountain, their comparison is not exactly identical. For, says the Stipler, a mountain, as we explained in the previous shiur, Taisa said that even if someone worshipped a mountain, the mountain doesn't become avodah zarah. The name avodah zarah cannot be attached to a mountain. Says the Stipler, the name avodah zarah can be attached to an animal. The only thing is that even though it's attached to an animal, it doesn't have the din of the din of avodah zarah, but certainly the name of avodah zarah is attached to an animal. We know that as a halacha of takruvus avodah zarah, which applies to animals. Continues the Gemara, Oman Dasar. But as we said at the beginning of the shir, there is another mandamin that says that avonim shenadadlu do become usher as avodah zara. Where does he get that from? Lachiksev, the Torah says the words, the Torah says the pasuk regarding avodah zara, shakets tishakseno v'saav tisaveno. Davgav the Asya Medina Latera, even though we could work out a lomdus, as our Gemara is teaching us, why it should be mutter, Loitasya, don't use such a lomdus, but rather say that it is asr. So as we said, the Gemara said that this question of how to treat Avonim Shnadavlu, if they're mutter or asr, the Gemara said was a machloikis of the B'nai Reb Chiva Reb Yochanan. But the Gemara didn't identify who holds what. One holds asur, one holds mutter, but the Gemara didn't identify which is the man, the omer, that holds what. Says the Gemara, Testayim de bnei Reb Chiya de Sharu. Says the Gemara wants to say that the opinion, the man, the omer, that holds that avonim nedadlu am mutter should be, is the opinion of bnei Reb Chiya. The boy Chizkiya. Because Chizkiya asked the following question. Zakav Beil Ishtachvelos Mahu. If somebody stood up an egg upright in order to bow for it, does that egg become Avodah Zarah? Kusalka Daitach. And the Gemara is assuming that what is the situation that Chizki is referring to? Lishtachvelos Lo, Vishtachvelo. Not only that he stood it up with the intention of bowing down to it, but he actually bowed down to it. Become Beilei. And what was the question? The question was, "Hai zikfsa have a ma'isa or lo have a ma'isa?" Is the act of picking it up, of standing it up, considered a significant act or not? Avloi zakef. But if he didn't do any act, loy mitzra, he would certainly not be asur. Shma mina b'nei Reb Chiya d'shara. From here we see that it seems the Gemara is saying that an egg is similar to a dislodged stone, even though they both started off in one state. Now they're somewhat different, but it wasn't different affected by a human being. And Chizkiya says that the halacha is that it's mutter. So we see that it was Bnei Reb Chiya that hold that it's mutter, because Chizkiya is from the Bnei Reb Chiya loy. Says the Gemara, "Olam emloch bnei Reb Chiya da'asri." We could hold that anything that's detached, any even insignificant act, is no longer mutter. V'shtachvelo afgav deloizok v'asura. And indeed, if somebody would bow down to egg, even if he didn't do any act, it would be asur. So why does the Gemara have to speak about a situation? Why did the Chizkiya, who, as I said, was one of the Bnei Reb Chiya, have to speak specifically about a case where it was stood up? Even if it wasn't stood up, we're saying perhaps it becomes asur. Where somebody stood up the egg with the order to bow down to it, but he never ended up bowing to it. And now the question is, Ulaman, according to which opinion was Chizkiya asking this question? We're going to learn further in Amasechta Machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. At what point does the Avodah Zarah of a Jew become asur? So according to Manda Omer that said that the Avodah Zarah of a Jew, as soon as the Jew designates it for an Avodah Zarah, it becomes an Avodah Zarah. So certainly Asura, this egg, should become asur, because as soon as he designated as an avodah zara, it's asur. Ilman daman, if we're going to be following the opinion that says that avodah zara of a Jew does not become an avodah zara atchet te'avid until it was actually worshipped, halapalcha. So why would Chizkiya have any question? Says the Gemara, le'tzrich, it's referring to situation. Kishayin to zocha be'elishtak v'sla. The Jew stood up the egg upright with the intention to bow down to it. However, v'lo yishtachvelo, he never ended up bowing down to it. Ubrayv kacham yishtachvelo, and a guy came and asked and did bow down to it. And even though, as we have previously learned, typically there's a concept of Ein Adam Oysa Deya Enamas Oysa Davish Enishaloi. So here, the fact that the Akum bowed down to an egg which does not belong to him should not make the egg an Avodah Zarah. Here, however, the fact that the owner, the Jew, who is the owner of the egg, showed that he wants to turn this egg into an Avodah Zarah, this act that the Akum now went and bowed down to it should perhaps have a relevance l'alocha. Ki hadam Rav Yehuda Mishmu, Yisrael zokel vein l'shtach v'slo, if Yisrael stood up a brick with the intention to bow down to it, or ba ev kacham v'shtach v'slo, and then the Akum went and bowed down to it, asura, the brick becomes asur. And therefore, that is the situation here too regarding the egg. And as the Rishonim explained, it's not that we look at the Akum bowing down to the egg or bowing down to the brick as an act of shlichus, that is the shlich of the Jew. Because as we know, the halacha is ein shlichus l'akum. Rather, the Akum bowing down is viewed in the halacha that it's showing that the owner's intent has been fulfilled, and therefore it becomes an avodah zarah. So ask the Gemara, if we're saying that if a Jew picked up a brick when the intention stood up a brick with the intention that it should be an avodah zarah, and then when the Akum bows down to it, it's considered a fulfillment of the intention of the Jew and therefore becomes an avodah zarah, so what is Chizkiya asking a question regarding the egg? Says the Gemara, because of Kamei Baile, Chizkiya's question is perhaps only Levena who the Minker is Kvasa. A brick is considerably larger than an egg. So when you pick up a brick, you have a clear demonstration that this person who's picking it up is turning it into an Avodah Zarah. Avobeya, an egg which is much smaller. Loi, Adam Loi Shna. However, and we see in these cases that what we see from here, that in a situation, this is referring to a situation where it was not made by a Jew into an Avodah Zarah, but it could well be by a Vonim Shnadaldalu, where a Jew made into an Avodah Zarah, even the Bnei Reb Chiya will agree that that would be Asur, and therefore this question that we discussed regarding Avonim Shnadadlu and this question about the egg are really not connected, and we have no raya who is the mandam that holds its mutter and who its asur. And the Gemara in fact says Teku, that this question about the Avonim Shnadadlu remains unanswered. Ask the Gemara Boy Rav Chama Hamishtach V'lahar, if somebody bows down to a mountain, and as we've been learning, a mountain cannot become an Avodah Zarah. The question still is, Avonav Ma'al Mizbeach. Perhaps, even though as we've been learning, the mountain cannot become an Avodah Zarah, but to take stones from that mountain and use them to build a Mizbeach, that is still unacceptable because it's highly moss, it's highly repugnant to use such items for the Mizbeach. And what is the question really based on? Yesh neved b'mechuba etzel gvoya. If something is attached to the ground, does it have the status in any way of neved? Does it have the status in any way of an avodah zarah? Or ein neved b'mechuba etzel gvoya. Or if something attached to the ground does not have in any way a status of an avodah zarah, and since it's completely removed in any way from being considered an avodah zarah, it would not be asur. Im temeloima, and if we'll say yesh neved b'mechuba etzel gvoya, that even though it's connected to the ground, it still somewhat obtains the status of a nevad, and therefore can certainly not be used as a carbon. The question here is, we weren't speaking about a carbon. We're speaking about bringing it on the Mizbeach. And the question is that Mechshiri carbon, Kekarbon Damu Oloi. The question is, is something that's going to be used in the preparation of a carbon, a Mizbeach, it's used in preparation of a carbon, is it considered a carbon or not? So Mefarshim ask, we're saying that the Gemara is saying that Yesh Neva B'mechobar Etzim Gevoya, something connected to the ground, is it also to be a carbon? But the question is, where do we have something connected to the ground that could be used as a carbon? Things that are, animals are brought as carbonis, but not items that grow from the ground. So Mefarshim explained that it's referring to a carbon eitzim. That the halacha is, the Gemara discusses, we'll learn in Masechta Menachos, in Mitzvah Shem, that if somebody donates eitzim, if somebody donates wood to the Mizbeach, that wood has to undergo all the halachas of, as a carbon mincha, it requires kmitza, and etc. And that's the case where we can have a question of something that was worshipped, was as an avodah zarah, when it was connected to the ground, if it's kosher for a carbon. Or, if we're speaking about carbon menachos, we could be saying about every mincha that comes from flour. And the question here is that the stalks from which the grain, from which the flour that's used to make the carbon mincha, what is the status of that, of those stalks regarding being able to be brought as a carbon mincha? Another way that the Rishonim explain, it could be speaking about Zav, Kesef, v'nechoshes, that in certain places the Torah calls the Zav, Kesef, and Nechoshes that were brought to the base of Migdash a carbon. And the question is, if such items that were worshipped when they're attached to the ground can be brought to the base of Migdash. One more pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that referring to the Bikurim, that the Bikurim have a din as a carbon. The proof is that it has to be brought to the Mizbeach. They have to have tenufa, so they have the din of a carbon. And the question is, if fruits of a tree that was worshipped while it was connected to the ground, will those fruits be qualified to be brought as Bikurim? Amar Rava, says Rava, we can make the following Kavachaymer. Uma esnan, shemota betolosh lahejit. If a prostitute, the Torah says that anything that's, the Torah says, loisavi, esnan zoina mechir kelebeis l'shem alakecho, l'chol neder, ki soyavas Hashem alakecho, gam shneyem. The Torah teaches us that something that was paid to a prostitute is not allowed to be used as a carbon, nor may be used in any way in the building of a Beis HaMikdash. Ma esnan, shemuta betolosh lahejit. The halacha is, even though we may not use it in any way for the Beis HaMikdash, as we just explained, the halacha is, it doesn't become osur b'hano. Diksiv, because the pasuk says, as we just quoted, leisavi esnan zonim mechil kalef, leishna tolosh, the Torah doesn't make any distinction whether this item is attached or detached. It is usur to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, but it may be used for non-Hegdish purposes. Nevad, something which was actually worshipped, which is more chomer than an esnan. Why is it more chomer than an esnan? Because if it was detached, not only would it be also to be used for purposes of hegdish, but also betolosh lahegdish, it would be even also to be used by regular people. Eino din, certainly such items, sh'osu v'mechubah l'gavoya, may not be used l'gavoya in these circumstances. Amalei Rufuna B'Reidu Rishu L'Rava, we can make a counter argument. We can argue Aichilif, or ma nevad, she'osu betolosh eitzel hejet. Nevad, when it's not attached to the ground, has the din of avodah zarah, and no one, not only not hegdish, but even a regular individual may not benefit from it. But mutter, b'mechobel gevaya, if it's attached, it doesn't become avodah zarah. Shenema, as we have been learning, Eloheim Eloharim, V'Eloharim Eloheim, that the mountains don't become avodah zarah. And that should perhaps be The mountain, something attached, never becomes Asr L'Gvaya. Esnan, certainly an Esnan, Shemuta B'Talos L'Hedjit, which is more lenient than a Nevad, because an Esnan is never Asr to the Hedjit, whereas Nevad, under certain circumstances, when it's Talosh, is Asr L'Hedjit, and Adin, Shemuta K'Mechub L'Gvaya. Perhaps it should be Mutter, perhaps the Halacha should be that an Esnan should be mutter but chubur l'gvaya, answers the Gemara. Vim shum beis Hashem l'kecha. I, you'll say the words beis Hashem l'kecha seem to teach us that under no circumstances may something which was given to an Esnan be used for the beis HaMikdash, whether it was talush or mechubur. And therefore, how can you teach us based on this kal v'chomer that an Esnan should be mutter when it was mechubur? We'll say that the pasuk of Beis Hashem Lekecha is coming to teach us a different din altogether. Miboyle l'chretanya is coming to teach us the din Beis Hashem Lekecha prat l'parosh and bar l'bayis, then a paraduma which is not brought to the Beis HaMikdash. We know that the avoid of the paraduma wasn't done on the Beis HaMikdash, was actually done on Har HaZeis and Divrei Rabbi Elazar. The Chamayim l'rabbis esa rikuim, that it comes to teach us that if the Esnan was paid with sheets of gold, they may not be used to cover the walls of the Kodesh HaGadoshim. Because even though this is not actually part of the Beis HaMikdash itself, since it decorates the Beis HaMikdash, there's a special din that's possible. And the Mefarshim explain that it would be strictly a din in the Kodesh HaKadoshim where it would be Asr. Furthermore, many Rishonim are of the opinion that this din applies strictly to the gold, which is so highly visible that we take such a strong opinion on, but not regarding other materials like stone or whatever that were given to an Esnan. And there are, furthermore, the Shvus Yaakov says that this issa that our Gemara is now saying is only an issa de Rabbanon, and therefore b'di'evid, if such wood was used for stone, it was used for the Beis HaMikdash, it would be mutter. So basically what we have here is as follows. We have two ways of connecting the question that we're discussing about something that was worshipped, may it be brought under any circumstances to the Beis HaMikdash. We could learn from Esnan that it's Asr, and certainly so will be the din by Nevad. Or we could say, on the contrary, that if by Nevad we're lenient when it comes to things that are attached, certainly we should be lenient when it comes to an Esnan. Amalei, anok kamin al chumra. I was learning a kal v'chomer which would teach us a chumra. V'at amrit al kula, and you're trying to teach us something which will come up as a chumra, which teaches a kula. We have a rule that kula of a chumra, that whenever we can learn a kal v'chomer to teach us a kula or to teach us a chumra, l'chumra pachinen, we use it to teach us a chumra. And as Rav Shlomo Kluger in the Sefer Avodas Avodah explains, actually the Gemara could have said a different teretz. The Gemara could have said, as we said earlier in our shir, when it comes to the discussion of Avodah Zarah, we always, because the Torah says Shaketz Tishakseno V'Sav Tisasaveno, we're always Machmer. So the Gemara could have said that teretz. But the Gemara says Rav Shlomo Kluger wanted to teach us another halacha. The Gemara wanted to teach us the halacha that as far as all Hilchas Kal V'Chomer are applied, we always go L'Chumra when we can learn a Kal V'Chomer, not L'Kula. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rapapa, V'Kol Echadik Kula V'Chumra. Is this indeed true? Whenever we can learn a Kal V'Chomer, L'Kula L'Chumra, we go L'Chumra, Lekula lo chavachinen. We go lechumra, not lekula. Vazor the Pesach. The halach is that a person who's tamei has to become tar by having, as we spoke about a second ago, the para aduma sprinkled on him. It's a 7-day process where on the third day and on the seventh day he has to have the para aduma water sprinkled on him. Then he goes to the mikvah on the seventh day, and at night he becomes tamei. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim speaks about a person who was tamei, a tamei smes, and the seventh day is on Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach. So in order to be able to kohen to come Pesach that night, he would have to have the para aduma water sprinkled on him today. But the halach is that midrabanon, we're not allowed to have para aduma water sprinkled on someone on Shabbos, because nearer kemesaken, it looks like the person is being fixed. It looks like he's being, like we're fixing something, we're making him from tamei tahar. Now the question was, what will be the din in such a case? Will we sprinkle on this person, even though it's Shabbos, the mechatis, in order they should be able to eat the Karban Pesach that night or not? For Hazar the Pesach, the Pligi Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Kiva, which is the subject of Machlokes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Kiva Masechta Pesachim, the Rabbi Elazar Sava L'Chumra become Machayva L'Gavra. Rabbi Elazar says we should sprinkle, and the person should bring the Karban Pesach, which is a Chumra, because now he's obligated to bring the Karban Pesach. Rabbi Kiva learns L'Kula, and he's Potter, that he don't sprinkle, and he's going to be Potter from bringing the Karban Pesach. The Kaparach Rabbi Kiva L'Kula, and Rabbi Kiva, in trying to prove his point, learned the Kavachomer, which teaches us a Kula, because Rabbi Kiva was using a Kavachomer to prove his point that he's Potter from the Karban Pesach. Tatanan, Heshir Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva, as he heard Rabbi Elazar say that he should have the para aduma water sprinkled on him and be obligated to bring the Karban Pesach, said, Oy Chilif, perhaps we could argue. If you say Hazar, which is only Asmad Rabbanan, Ein Adoich Shabbos can never supersede Shabbos, Shchita, and therefore we should never be allowed, you say we can't do the Hazar on Shabbos, Shchita, doing Shchita of the Karban Pesach, which is an Issa Deraisa Shchita, like Hoshkein. So Rabbi Kiva is saying to Rabbi Elazar that certainly if you're allowed to do the Shchita, we should be allowed to do the Hazar. Now, this Kavachayma is, we were not allowed to do the Hazar, we should not be allowed to do the Shchita. And what would this Kavachayma achieve? That he won't be chayiv to bring a Karban Pesach. It achieves a Kula. So we see that we're using a Kavachayma to achieve a leniency. Says the Gemara, there was a different situation because we could have used the Kavachayma L'Chumra. In other words, the Kavachayma there could be go L'Kula L'Chumra. L'Chumra could go that if we do Shchita, which is the Issa D'Raisa, we certainly do Hazar. Or it could go L'Kula. If we don't do Hazar, we certainly don't do Shchita. And with Rabbi Kiva is proposing to Rabbi Elazar that we should use the Kavachayma for Kula. Answers the Gemara, there was a totally different situation. It wasn't Rabbi Kiva who was going to use a Kavachayma L'Kula. Rather, Hosan Rabbi Elazar Gamri, Rabbi Kiva had allegedly learned from Rabbi Elazar that the halach is that one is not allowed to do the Hazar on Shabbos, even under those circumstances. And Rabbi Elazar, however, forgot what he taught Rabbi Kiva. Vasa Rabbi Kiva left Kura. Rabbi Kiva wanted to remind Rabbi Elazar of his opinion that the Hazar is Osir, but he wanted to do it in a respectful manner. Vahanadamalai. Rebbe, Atach Bereini B'Shas Adin. Kach Ani Mekum Mecha, I learned from you, Hazar Shvus Ben Adoichas Shabbos. In other words, Rabbi Kiva was not relying on the Kavachomer, rather, he was using the Kavachomer, which is not an appropriate Kavachomer, just to jar Rabbi Elazar's memory. Boy Rambachama, Hamashtach v'lakam eschitin. If somebody bows down to standing wheat, Mal Menachas, can we use the flour from that wheat for a mincha? Yesh shini b'neved or ain't shini b'neved. The fact that we had something that was worshipped. So we have here as the Rishonim explained. 2 points. Number one, it was neved when it was mechuber, and mechuber was saying is less serious when it comes to avodah zarah. And furthermore, it underwent a change. Anything that's also in the mizbeach, follow the same term. Their child, their offspring, even though the animal itself was, let's say, sodomized, and it's not mutter to be brought as a carbon, their child may be brought as a carbon. Now, we're referring here, he assumes, to a case that they were sodomized when they were pregnant, and so therefore the fetus was worshipped, but it underwent a change by being born, and it is the subject of a machlokes, and Rabbi Elazar says that it's still usur even after the change, says the Gemara. That proof isn't a good proof, because lav itmala amrav Nachman amrav avavur machlokes shenirvul l'saif ivru. The case has nothing to do where it was sodomized, and only then did the animal become pregnant. So therefore, the fetus was never the subject of an aveira, but avil ibru l'saif nirbu devrahako asurim. Everybody would agree that it's asur. Vachinami, the wheat is similar to the case where it first became pregnant and then it was sodomized. Everybody, because the wheat was worshipped and then underwent and changed. So just like in that case, everybody agrees that it's asur, here too it would be asur. However, there's a different version of this exchange. Ikadamri, machlokes shenirvu ulbsayf ivru. The machlokes is only in a case where the animals were first sodomized or worshipped, and then they became pregnant. Av ibru l'b'soif nivru, if they became pregnant and then they were sodomized, the rekel also vachinami ki ibru l'b'soif nivru dami. And therefore, in this version, Mazutra himself says the explanation to refute the earlier version of the proof. So he's trying to prove that everybody agrees that this would be awesome. Says Mar, but the comparison is not a good comparison. Why? Hachi hashta. Hasimi kar behema v'ashta behema. There, the fetus is an animal, and when it's born, it's an animal. So it's not considered that it underwent significant change. Doshu dachayz ba'ampe. It was only a blockage from it coming out from its mother's womb, but it is really already existing animal. Hachim karachita, here it was originally wheat, v'hashta kimcha, now it's flour, so it underwent a significant change, and since it underwent a significant change, it's considered different, and therefore we cannot compare the two issues. Interesting to note that the Paiskim, many Paiskim, including Reb Moshe, use Agamar to teach us that when something underwent significant change, it changes status in halacha, and therefore he paskins that if an animal ate chametz on Pesach, since the chametz even though chametz we know is osur on Pesach, since it underwent significant change by being digested by the animal that ate it, the meat or the milk of that animal would be permitted to be eaten even on the same day of Pesach where the animal was fed chametz. That's the opinion of Rav Moshe.